All right, so we're going to do a real quick fun game before we actually start this real podcast. Normally, if I was good at producing shows, I would have brought our theme song to play to introduce us.
Do an acapella?
No. So what I'm going to do is we're just going to play this fun game where we're going to pretend that it played and you guys just lose your fucking minds over it.
It's going to sound like...
It's going to sound terrible, but let's just do this for fun. All right, so like, let's just pretend. Theme song's over. Everyone's excited because we're doing a podcast. Go! Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Horror Movie Night live at the Creature Feature Weekend. This week on the show, we're going to be talking about Leatherface, Chainsaw Massacre 3, the final movie in our Listener Submitted month, and the person who submitted this is sitting front row of the theater.
Which is wild.
So, hold on a second. I'm going to read the email that we got.
Wait, I thought Eli was going to read the email.
I didn't realize how high up we were going to be. I'm just going to have him explain himself. All right.
So I mean, he is at your height, Scott. I don't think he's getting up here easily.
He's actually 2 inches taller than me.
All right. So the email that we got from Eli says, I've been a huge fan since I discovered you guys 2 years ago. You've been the background commentary while I've been getting my master's degree. I love to support you guys on Patreon, and I love how Scott has come around on Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, and I know you all love the original and hate it part 4. However, you're missing one in the catalog that I really think you have to hit. Leatherface, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3. I love this film, one of Viggo Mortensen's first movie roles, and the character of Alfredo is full of great lines. New Line tried their hardest to make Leatherface into the next Freddy or Jason, and it failed horribly. The movie is way better than the Rotten Tomatoes score indicates. All the best, Eli. Eli, come up here real quick.
Let's get a round of applause for Eli.
Or boo him for making this fucking choice.
Yeah, so let's... Feel free to share Joshua's mic real quick, but
While he's explain walking yourself. up, we should probably explain that. Like, Joshua
I'll
does
be
cosplay.
The Paul to your, oh, yeah, Josh, to your John.
We
okay?
got Joshua cosplay sitting in for
yeah,
Brian,
Joshua does
who's
cosplay.
Saving money for his wedding. But yes. Eli, what were you thinking?
So when I went ahead and I picked this film, it was because I had just finished watching it while I was supposed to be getting hours of work done and was essentially getting about a third of it done, and. You guys were bragging about the fact that you hit a full series with Basket Case.
Yeah, we watched all three Basket Cases. Yeah. It's a great trilogy.
Yeah.
And I figured you needed to hit the four that I consider the canon in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre series that has 8 movies. So
I'm not hitting all 8 movies, buddy.
No, I would never ask you guys to watch any of those.
Yes, you would. You
yeah, you literally did. You asked us to watch one of those.
Yeah, but of
that's
the
why we're here.
Four.
It starts there.
That's fair. So I went ahead, and I do love this movie. I'm not going to say it's fantastic. I would say it deserves double the Rotten Tomato score that it has.
Wait,
which still
so what do you
it
know
what
the Rotten Tomato score?
It's a generous 35.
You so no, you think it is a 17, and I'm saying it deserves.
Oh, okay.
I was going. I wanted to know who these critics were. They got it up to a 35.
Well, what's the audience score? That's what I want to know.
I can't remember what the audience score was.
Because like I want to know what the percentage of audience score is. Just you being like, here are all of my alt accounts that fucking love TCM Leatherface.
Yeah, I happen to have 17 other email accounts that I've gone ahead and really just written in a ton on movies that I love. That
so here's
else
a question
loves.
For all of your alt email accounts: how many of them end in 69? Like, is it?
And do you have the same password?
I have the same password for
that
all
ends
of
in
them,
69.
But I do. They all end in 27. So if you're ever like scouring Rotten Tomatoes and want to see a good score, just look for that end number 27, and you probably hit the nail on the head.
All right. Well, thank you, Eli. Let's give him a round of applause for coming up here. Okay,
and
guys.
Now let's proceed with giving him a whole lot of shit for 40 minutes.
Yeah. So,
That's
can
the
we
plan.
Talk about the fact that like. I've said it multiple times on the show before that the first Texas Chainsaw Massacre is arguably the greatest horror movie ever made. And somehow, immediately from that point, every other film in this franchise stopped being, hey, this movie works because it's this really gritty, terrifying look at an insane family, to just be like, how wacky are these folks?
But that's what makes TCM2 so good. I don't know what your problem... Okay, so backstory for
Let's not backstory too much. We've got 45 minutes.
I just have to throw this out really quickly.
Go for it.
In the guise of that, what is the general deal with New Line Cinema acquiring series and then throwing the primary character as the first name in it? Jason goes to hell. Freddy's dead. Leatherface.
Well, because they don't have any faith that people know what those characters, like, they don't, they're like, no one knows Texas Chainsaw Massacre, they know Leatherface.
Well, the thing that makes Leatherface great is the fact that he is not the fixture of a film. He's the condiment in the sandwich, you know?
Yeah, he's the
ketchup. In the human sandwich. I was thinking he's more of like a tartar sauce, personally. You know, a little bit extra special. So here's my thought about TCM2, and here's the backstory that Matt doesn't want you to hear. So I started podcasting with Matt 7+ years ago. Hated TCM2. I think I watched it on a dare or something, and I was like, this is bullshit. This is nothing like the first one. And then I pick it so that I can rip it apart for horror movie night, and it magically becomes one of my favorite sequels. And it's just because it's so incredibly bombastic and over the top. And I think that Toby Hooper said that he thought
the first one was a comedy.
It was a comedy, yeah. He was like, why do people not think this is a fucking comedy? So he was like, I am hell-bent on making a comedy. And he gave Dennis Hopper about 5 pounds of cocaine. And, you know, he was like, just make a movie. And so that's TCM2. And then New Line Cinema was like, you know what was really cool? When the movie was all about Leatherface. Let's make a Leatherface movie. And so that's where we get
TCM3. Well, not
TCM
only that, they reboot the entire look. Like, they still wanted him to have, like, that gentle giant approach, but his face setup, the hair, everything.
Of course a cosplayer would say something like this.
No, they kind of took away they took away, like, a little bit of the drag queen aspect of...
But they brought it back.
Oh, they brought it back in part four big time.
Shit. Yes, they did.
I'm looking at notes, Marissa.
He'll edit that part out. Don't worry.
He's actually swiping right on something.
Grindr, not Tinder. He'll cut that.
Did
either of you guys see this movie as like, Are You Afraid of the Dark TCM edition? Because that's what it feels like to me. Like this whole fucking movie.
It's the opening credit crawl definitely sounds like the lead up before they threw the sand into the fire.
Yeah,
like
that's my first note is literally like, the dark.
Yeah, they're just like, you know, they just outline what happened in the first movie again.
But the thing that they do with the intro crawl that the worst part about this movie is that it has so much potential in the intro where he's basically cutting up a new mask. And it's like, I know it's just fake blood and latex, but the sound effects are just like, disturbing and gross.
It's very another New Line thing. It's very similar to Freddy building the glove in
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely derivative. I don't care.
But yeah, like,
it's never been a problem for our podcast.
I do like it's so overdramatic with that voiceover, but I do like the one aspect where they're like they caught a guy and he was sentenced to death, and if that is who this Leatherface was that she referred to, then like this dead person can sleep soundly, but if not, God have mercy on us all.
Yeah.
Basically, it's like
pretty it's like you're right, it's so overdramatic because you're not watching Citizen Kane. You know, you're watching Leatherface. And literally this movie has a part where is it Alfredo is the one who's like,
yeah,
like scratching his head. Yeah, sorry, that's a very visual. This is the problem
peeping
when we do
Tom,
live episodes.
Peeping Tom.
That was perfect, yeah.
Yeah. He's the Peeping Tom. Thank you. And he's literally throwing body parts into a pond. And he goes, is it soup yet? And I don't know if they thought that Alfredo was going to take Leatherface's position as the truly wacky character in the family, and Leatherface was going
to
be like,
a chop top. They were trying to go for like chop
they
top.
They literally were going for
chop
top.
Can you imagine the merchandising on that? Just in general, if they really wanted to, you know, make it through, like just like his face, like wacky to the side, like a Captain Spaulding us. It's like, is it soup yet?
See, that's the thing is that you're basically setting up for the next line of Horror Movie Night T-shirt designs.
Yeah,
I'm not even kidding. It's
so,
true.
So they didn't know what this movie was, though. Have you ever seen the original trailer for this movie?
Yeah, where the actual saw comes out of the water like
they
lady
do
in the
a
lake?
King Arthur trailer.
It's amazing. If you so haven't watched it, you've got to watch it.
As before the Frankenhooker crew comes up, or if you're listening at home, pause the podcast, look up this 1-minute trailer. It's just like every once in a while a legend is born, and it's just this person standing by a lake. And they're like the tale of the lady in the lake who brought the sword to King Arthur. And then this woman's hand rises out of the lake holding a chainsaw and tosses it in the air. And the person standing by the river grabs the chainsaw, turns around, and it's Leatherface. And then it just says,
oh,
Leatherface coming soon. supposedly they shot that before they ever had a script.
That makes absolute sense to me, because I'm actually still wondering if they had a script for this movie in the first – I mean, at the end of it.
So fun fact that I learned on IMDb was that the director of this movie was fired at the start of production, but then no one was willing to take his place, so they rehired him back.
So this movie is also really cool in the fact that I learned a new word, and this shows you what kind of a fucking nerd I am. So there's this thing called adipocere, and I find myself to be pretty good at spelling. It took me a good 5 minutes of Googling to find out how to spell this. So adipocere is real, and I'm going to spell it. Obviously, if you're in the audience, you can Google it at your risk, and anybody at home, Google it at your risk, because I made the mistake of Googling it and decided that it wasn't time for lunch at this point. So it's spelled adipocere, and it is the what the fat cells in your body do when you are decomposing in a wet, bacteria-rich environment. And that's what I'm saying is, like, this movie could have been super gruesome.
Yeah, it could have been.
But the best shit happens before you even see actual Leatherface.
Yeah. No, yeah. I feel like once you actually meet the family, the whole thing falls apart.
Well, I will say that the creepy girl.
No. What I'm trying to remember offhand. Primary character comes in, sees a little girl, thinking, "Oh wow, this little girl's in danger."
I wrote the note down. Yeah.
And she comes down, and what does the little girl say?
Wait, hold on a second. I think I wrote down. Was it yakety yak, don't talk back? Because I have that written down.
She's holding a dead baby dressed up, like a baby's skeleton in a dress that matches her dress.
Like the only
thing she's a terrible actress.
The only thing they did well.
I mean, she's like eight, but still.
The only thing they did well with that little girl is kind of the general development a couple scenes after that, where, you know, guy's hanging upside down. They've got everything set up, like about to, you know, just fuck his whole life up, right? And then it's like, I want to try. And it's like kind of like passing on the tradition in the family. And it's like, okay, like that's the one aspect, the really outside of the first like 15 minutes of this film, that is the only aspect of that film that was actually really good. I found myself writing down, I paused at least 5 times and just wrote down fucking Aragorn. Like, I can't help it. I see him and that's all that I think. And, you know, it's like going from the hero-esque, you know, character that everyone knows him as is just like some slime ball that, like, you know, fucks random girls outside of a gas station by trying to be a hero. Like, it's just, no.
But was
his
he really
whole
trying to
plan
have sex
is
with
insane.
There like, is no plan.
No, there's a like a Rube Goldberg plan here. Like, it involves like a fake gas station robbery with information they provided about a road that leads to their house for them to get in a car accident in so they can make them into burgers.
Like, you can, like,
You
can tell up front how shitty a film's going to be if within the first 20 minutes somebody's gassing up in the middle of nowhere and some kind of cute guy compared to, like, has to be cute because other dude's just a fucking weirdo peeping Tom.
The other guy's taking a photo of you and then popping into your window instead of pumping the gas and being like, the picture, it's a good picture. You want a picture? I'll sell it for
$5. $5. But, you know, anytime you see a film and it's some dude and he's like, oh no, something's going on. Yeah, I know the map says to go that way, but this way is a lot faster and it's way more safe.
Why does your Viggo Mortensen sound like Keanu Reeves?
Basically, yeah. But it's one of those things that, you know, a film is nothing good is going to come after that, after the point that they actually decide to take that road. Like, it's not going to be good.
Well, no, it can be bad good. I mean, like, it can
In this case, it was.
It could be TCM4.
Yeah, oh. I would argue that TCM4 is not even bad good, and go back into our back catalog about 6 months and listen to that. Why did we do both of these within a year?
Because you wanted Kyle to guest on the episode.
Oh, okay. So it's my fault.
Yeah, you picked it.
Did I pick TCM4?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, shit.
So there is that double car accident, which was like the holy shit moment of holy shit moments for me, because it just came out of fucking nowhere.
They blew so much money on the car wrecks in this movie. Yeah.
Well, they wanted this to become like their big franchise.
But there's nothing about this movie that makes it endearing at all. I mean, like, there are bad movies that we discuss that are endearing with a much smaller budget.
Yeah. This is weird for weird's sake a lot of the time. Like, the old lady with the robot voice, the little
it's
girl.
The mother.
Yeah, I know.
Also, they're also incestuous now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She basically says that Leatherface, who is her son, likes to molest everybody, and he's quote unquote really good with his hands.
Yeah, which again, it feels like they changed. I don't know. The 90s were wild, dude. Grunge was on the radio.
No, but speaking
of. Nirvana was recording Nevermind when this was happening.
That doesn't mean shit.
I'm just setting a time frame.
I do have to say, though, the one absolute redeeming factor to this film, for me, 100%, is the soundtrack.
Really?
Absolutely, the soundtrack.
Laws Rocket.
Yes.
Leatherface.
Yes. Bay Area, early 90s thrash. Fuck
but
yeah,
this isn't
day.
Even that good of Bay Area thrash. Like, it's as a thrash connoisseur myself, I would say that Laz Rocket
this
was
asshole thrash connoisseur
at best. All right,
but they did send you an invitation
to the face. <It's>, I know that was a setup, and I appreciate that.
That's what I'm here
You're
for.
Welcome.
Setting up the volleyball.
The sound wave for this fucking episode just looks like like one of the graboids from Tremors just popped out of the ground.
So what are your thoughts on the – I feel like of all of the movies, Part 4 included, this is the least thrilling reveal of Leatherface.
Oh, this movie is absolute garbage. There's nothing entertaining about – I mean, I really don't find any entertainment value in this movie. It was a brisk 72 minutes.
Oh, because you fast-forwarded some shit.
No, it was 72 minutes, and then I fast-forwarded, so it was like 50. It was painful.
Every time, just so you know, whenever you're listening, every time Scott opens his mouth, the guy who submitted this is just looking at him like, fuck you, man. Yeah.
No, he's Eli thinking, and I.
He's almost disappeared out of his seat at this point.
No, Eli loves this. This is like the best part of his day right now.
He's not sliding down out of comfort.
He traveled all the way from Los Angeles just for this moment.
Listen, he didn't travel. Okay, you're making me sound terrible. He now
it's
lives
true,
on
though.
The East Coast.
It's true, though. Shame on you.
He told us, literally, word for word, I didn't need much, you barely had to suggest I come down. I think he said there was a bit of arm.
Don't worry about it.
Metaphors are escaping me right now. But we have not mentioned the fact that Ken Foree is
yes,
in this
yes,
movie.
Yes. That is honestly the most, that's the reason why I didn't turn off the film. But 100%.
So you have to. So he plays Benny, who is 100% the best character in this movie,
but the least rational person. Because
the AK though.
But are you really trying to tell me that this guy randomly goes out into the Texas wilderness with guns,
and just goes in guns and plays like hide and seek with guns with his buddies? Is basically
and where
goes,
are his buddies?
We do a weekly survival trip, is what he says.
And he still gets.
I mean, he's still there.
He dies in the director's cut, but when they showed it to test audiences, they're like, oh, we liked Benny. So he just is alive at the end of the movie.
He gets slashed down the back.
You see, you see him get a cut, and it's going through his head, and then the next time you see him and
he's
alive, it's like a cat scratched his forehead. Like, it is it's marked.
He's like
now
Wolverine.
Is a good time to tell you that this was the first time that you see Wolverine on screen.
Exactly, yes.
Because that was the healing factor.
Same thing with Leatherface. Leatherface was scheduled or shot to die in this movie, and they're like, well, you know, we got a franchise here, so we got
to. Oh, my God. But he actually does die.
Yeah.
He dies in
but
the
he
water.
Was, yeah.
And then he gets run over, right?
Yeah. But he's back.
Not Michael Myers.
I mean, who is? But it's a rough one.
Yeah. Well, I have more thing to say about
it. Oh, I'm sure you do.
So the guy who played Leatherface in this movie, I can't remember his name.
Well, Kane Hodder did a lot of it.
But the other guy.
Yeah, the other guy.
Okay, thank you.
Thank
he was
fuck
just
yeah. Fuck yeah.
As you can tell, I don't do my research for when we do shows. I want to talk about Ken Foree and Laz Rocket.
Fucking Bay Area thrash, man. All day.
Listen, if I'm going to listen to 80s Bay Area thrash, I want to listen to Among the Living. I want to watch that part in It Chapter 1 where they have
Anthrax
just in a rock fight. That is amazing.
He'll never admit it, but in music and in film, he's elitist. As you're saying.
I just did. I know you've had a beer, but just listen to me a little bit. Anyway, I don't even know where I was going. Oh, I went to a con, and that guy was there with the saw, the prop saw that says the saw is family. That thing is massive.
Yeah.
It's as big as you think it is. And that's, you know, you can take me out of context.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to use that just that audio clip later.
Best that's going on the
five,
second
here
shirt.
Here it comes.
I have one note that I don't understand what
it means.
Wait.
Are you talking about the food note?
No, it just says, did not realize I needed Leatherface on a speaking spell.
A speaking spell?
Yeah, is there a scene where he's like playing with like a speaking spell?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Okay. Wait, there's a clown, and it says, what is this? And he types in food.
Yeah, and he keeps doing that over and over.
Yeah.
And then he gets like really pissed off at the fact that
he doesn't break the speaking spell.
No, because he wants to get it right.
Yeah, he wants to learn.
And that's where they're keeping the gentle giant.
Don't you get it? That's where Leatherface is relatable. He's flawed like all of us, but he wants to improve himself.
Michelle Pfeiffer comes out of the woodwork, and she's like, I will teach you. This is Dangerous Minds, Texas Edition.
Oh, my God. I watched the shit out of Dangerous Minds. Sorry, Leatherface. Are you kidding me? Like she walks in, and she's like, you don't always have to kill people, you know.
Can we get Ken Faree to be Coolio doing
the Gangster's Paradise video?
Yeah, but it actually would have
but with
to
the gash in his
yes,
head.
Yes, thank you. You know me way too fucking well.
Oh, yeah. We've been doing this for 7 years. We're like a married couple.
Yo, and I do actually think that a really great ringtone, which I talk about ringtones on the podcast quite a bit.
You do, for a dead technology.
That like, no one uses. Like the only ringtones I hear anymore are like the Halloween soundtrack. That's like the
or Kim Possible. I hear Kim Possible a lot as a text message noise.
Who the fuck are you hanging out with?
I'm at a convention
children.
A lot.
Yeah, our first convention together was an anime convention, so I think that kind of sets the stage for what you might
fair
be expecting
enough,
from
enough,
Matt Kelly.
Enough.
So, if we get Viggo Mortensen yelling, "Go get the meat!" I would love to have that as a ringtone because as a vegan, I like to keep things spicy.
Yeah, you had this weird obsession. You know what? This is a good time to ask this. You had a weird obsession for a long time with always wanting to pick accidental cannibal movies.
Yeah, Motel Hell, TCM2, this movie. The list does not go on and on, but those are the ones that come
almost
to mind.
Almost Parents.
Oh, I almost picked Parents a couple weeks ago, and it's just kind of a good movie. Like, it's just a weird movie that is really, I love accidental cannibalism, and I love stuff from the 1950s, and it really clicked all the buttons, but it wasn't bombastic, so I couldn't really pick it for us. And I highly recommend, if you like horror and haven't seen Parents 1989, watch it. But
starring
you won't
Randy
ever hear
Quaid.
Us. What?
Starring Randy Quaid.
Starring Randy Quaid. Yeah. and also it's very. I mean it's trying to be. Are they or aren't they cannibals? But you know from the very first moment that they're cannibals.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a big secret there.
No.
All right, so.
Oh, I got another one. One last one. Night of the Chicken Dead.
Poultrygeist,
which
Night of the Chicken Dead.
Yes. The best thing about that movie, though, is the theme song.
Performed by Newfound Glory.
As Calamari Safari.
Yeah, under the fake name Calamari Safari.
It's one of the best Newfound Glory songs. Names. Yeah, yeah. And also, you know, arguably, and I've said this before on the show, and we'll say it again in perpetuity, that Newfound Glory is the most reliable pop punk band of all time.
I'll agree with that. All right, so what else do we have to go here? Because I've tapped out my notes here.
Let's get into the double features.
Okay. So, Josh, you're our guest. We do a... Since we're doing this live, we'll explain. We do a little segment at the end of the show called Double Features. We pick the perfect movie that you would watch immediately after or immediately before Leatherface. If you were, you know, bringing your friends over, you're like, hey, man, we got a sweet double feature. You just strap in. It's going to be a good time. And then you torture them and show them Leatherface Part 3. What else are you showing them?
If they stayed around, 1990s Blood Salvage.
Dude, that's on my long list for the show.
Yeah. It's perfect because you have Evander Holyfield right before he becomes WBC champion. Yep.
Wow.
You have John Saxon, who is always a dad, a cop, and somehow
or a dad
he's
and a cop.
Not
yeah, or
a dad
cop.
Dad cop. And that right there is enough that if
summer.
You have never watched that film, it is insane in just the way that they shot it. It is absolutely a shit film that 99% of you, unless you are absolutely bored out of your mind and it's on Tubi or something, probably won't watch it.
You can watch it on
if
YouTube.
If you do
Freakus,
watch
by
it,
the way.
It is it's actually a fun way to kill about 80, 90 minutes if you need to sober up before going somewhere.
All right.
Or
I will,
sleep. I mean, I don't know what you mean.
I'll take your blood salvage, and I will raise you something that we've actually done on the podcast before, Blood Diner.
Ooh, that's another accidental cannibalism move that I love.
So if you've never seen Blood Diner, it is one of the strangest movies I've ever watched. Actually, Blood Diner would be an amazing double feature with Frankenhooker, which
yes.
is playing in a couple.
Oh, man.
But,
you're really
so,
doing it for me right now.
So Blood Diner is an unofficial sequel to Blood Feast from the 60s, and it's about two brothers who watch their favorite uncle get gunned down for being a serial killer. But he gave them like all these cool recipes, so they just become cannibals and open a diner where they just serve people. But they dug up their uncle's brain, and it can talk to them telepathically. It's fucking wild. But
yeah, and you got to get to the blood buffet.
Oh yeah, yeah, blood. Yeah, we're gonna serve them a blood buffet. Is like
the weirdest accent. It's like Yugoslavian, but if a Canadian thought that he knew what he could do.
He sounds like William Sadler doing death in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
This is actually selling Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey for me, and that's saying a lot because we did a bonus episode.
No, that was the first episode of this year.
Oh, God, it's painful.
I love that
movie. Not a slapstick guy.
Yeah, you got booed.
All.
Good.
But I will watch the third installment that they're doing. That they
oh, I'll
wrapping.
Watch the shit out of that third installment. All right, Scott, what's your double feature here?
All right, so I had one. I forgot what it was, and then we were talking about Lord of the Rings. And so if we're talking Viggo Mortensen, we're going to have to talk about Elijah Wood. And one of my favorite remakes of all time is Maniac 2012.
Yeah.
So if we're doing... If we're doing a before, or well, or just we're doing a tertiarily related to Lord of the Rings, I'm going to start with TCM Leatherface. I'm going to fight my way through that 82 minutes or whatever it is. Maybe it's 72.
Now
I
it's 72,
it is not
now 72. 82.
I can promise you it's not
70. 50, 72,
like
82, whatever.
My first lifetime is TCM 3 Leatherface, and then I get to just revel in the bliss of Maniac 2012, which has quite possibly the greatest horror soundtrack of the last decade. And I will fight anybody that says that Rob's Maniac soundtrack isn't an absolute work of art. I mean, not really fight you. I'd just probably be like, okay. Because I'm a wimp.
All right, one last quick thing. So we've still got a little bit of time, so I think we were planning to skip this, but let's go forward with it. What's something that you've watched recently? How about you, Joshua?
If
you need time, I'll go first because I saw some shit that I need to talk
about.
Because
TCM 3 kind of turned me off from cinema.
So
you, how many times did you watch it? Three times?
Yeah.
You're an idiot.
So I try to see as many movies as possible because I have both the AMC and the Regal Unlimited card. So I need to get my $40 worth every month. So on my drive here, I stopped at a movie theater.
I thought you were going to say on my drive here, I was watching a movie while I was driving.
Yep. No, I literally planned out my trip so I would drive for an hour and a half, stop and see a movie, and then drive for the other hour
that
to get here.
That sounds so grueling to me.
And I stopped to see 47 Meters Down Uncaged, which might be the worst movie
You're
of the year.
You're also an idiot. Why am I surrounded by idiots?
It is... So I liked 47 Meters Down. It was fine. It's
you
not great.
You love shark movies, though.
I love shark movies.
This is his fetish.
This was bad. Like, I didn't realize what the actual premise of this movie is. So I want to explain this premise to you so you can.
Well, it's got sharks. Can't we do that?
So it's a bunch of high schoolers decide. So the one girl's dad is an archaeologic scuba diver who discovers Mayan burial grounds in the water.
I hate it already.
I mean, isn't that so relatable, though? Like, all my high school friends, archaeological scuba divers.
So they decide to scuba dive and look at these, like, Mayan ruins. And while they're down there, they find out that all of the aquatic life has been trapped in this darkness. So they're all blind, but have all of their other senses are stronger. And they're surrounded by these blind but hypersensitive sharks that end up caving in the walls of the tomb, so they're trapped in there.
Would your double feature be with the last shark? Because that's what I'm hearing
right now. There's like one moment. It's already been done once before, but there's a point where they're talking to someone, and he's like, guys, don't worry about this. We got this. We just got to swim past those sharks, and whoa! And he just gets lifted out of the water as the shark's attacking him. And I laughed so hard, and it was not supposed to be
funny. Not intentionally
funny,
yeah.
But yeah, so... not a recommend, just a, I sat through that.
I lived it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do you one, well, not one better, but I'm going to go along the same path where I was so jacked. Okay, so a friend of the podcast who also does all of our In Theaters Now episodes, which are just modern movies that we discuss, and we did an episode of Midsommar, and our friend Katie.
We didn't. We
Oh, I'm sorry. We didn't do Midsommar. Yeah. We did
Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, and then we mentioned Midsommar.
Yeah, yeah. So we didn't do Midsommar, but Katie was super jazzed about Midsommar because she loves Ari Aster, and she's seen it like 3 times now, and I was like, okay, you're excited for Midsommar. I'm excited for the Banana Splits movie. So, yes. Which, if you don't know anything about, it is the slasher take on killer robot Banana Splits from the 1970s. So it's on Prime now. I think I rented it for $3 the other day. And it was underwhelming. I was a little bit disappointed that there were some great kills, but it was also about 10 minutes too long. And when you have an hour and a half movie that's 10 minutes too long, that hurts you because that means that your pacing is still rough. But it was a good way to kill an hour and a half. I didn't fast forward at all.
Oh, look at you.
I'm very proud of myself for that. But I just want more filmmakers to make something as bombastic and ridiculous as, hey, we're going to buy the rights for this 70s kids show, and we're going to make them murder adults. That's what the world needs. Thank you for the scattered applause.
Agreed.
That's exactly what the world
and
needs.
And Josh?
So I watched about a week and a half ago in
please.
A sleepless slumber. I would say, honestly, the best horror film of 2019.
Oh.
Leaving Neverland.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
No.
I literally enthralled at just the craziness that keeps coming forward over and over and over, and it just gets more and more wild. And, yeah, that – I don't know. That have either of you guys watched that?
No.
Or in any portions of it.
I know enough to not want to watch
it. Yeah, I'm not going to watch it.
I'm not a true crime dude. My wife is a documentary lady. So, and I think she watched half of it and was like, I don't like the fact that it felt like they were. She can be an elitist about docs. And so she doesn't like documentaries. And I think that Matt will probably back me up on this, where they kind of feed you a truth. And I feel like
that's
that
the majority of documentaries. That's where they get the
no. That's
entertainment
the majority of documentaries. The really good documentaries are the ones that give you information and don't lead you to a conclusion.
Yeah, let you kind of build off of it.
That's the importance of a documentary.
Which is fair enough. All right, so I think the Frankenhooker people are here. I don't know.
Yay!
Maybe
there we
we'll
go.
See. I'm not sure.
Now we can get a real round of applause.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you're here, so when they show up, you're gonna watch the fucking movie.
Yeah. So real quick, I just wanted to thank all you guys for sitting here and watching. And while we like to come up here and have a good time, I do want to talk about something real quick, which is that horror films for me, and I think for a lot of people, have been a way for us to make an escape. And I can speak for Scott, myself, Brian, and I'm pretty sure Josh, when we can all say that, like, we've all had really dark points in our life, and I feel like being given opportunities to sit up here in front of people, it's important to say, like, take care of yourselves. Take care of yourselves. Learn to love yourselves. I personally didn't love myself for a very long time. Therapy is super good and super
and useful.
Okay and
please
useful.
Go to therapy. I go
Do
to therapy,
not,
too.
I feel like I see a lot of people stigmatizing it, so I just wanted to take a quick opportunity to say love yourselves and use that to love this stuff that we love. Don't be
in a healthy way.
Yeah, in a healthy way. Don't be afraid to love these things and be who you truly are, because the world is going to constantly make you feel like you shouldn't be. So thank you guys so much for watching, and we will continue to do podcasts as
Excellent.
Long as people continue to listen to them. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And hopefully the Frankenhooker people will be up here soon, but we're going to get off the stage.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.